Now we are on a series, and I've titled it Transformational Gospel. We've done part one, we've done part two, we've done part three. I want to encourage you, go get all the teachings. Chew on them. Jeremiah said, I found thy word, and I did eat them. And he said, they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16. I found thy word. So he found that it was preached. Does not mean you found it. You have to sit on it until it becomes real to your spirit. And when your spirit eats on them, it will show. Because in 1 Timothy 4:13, it said, until I come, it said, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. It said, in verse 15, give thyself wholly to these things. He said, your profiting will be made manifest. There's no way this thing hit you and you'll remain the same. Give thyself wholly. So when you find people who are not making great impact, the problem is not the barrenness around their lives. The barrenness is an indication of what they are either giving themselves to or not giving themselves to. Some of us who are giving ourselves wholly to these things, is showing. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to it. Your profiting will be made manifest to all. Even your enemies, they will see it. There's no day that my enemies don't see what's going on. They are paying, but they can't stop you. Because even the devil's presence has no more implication. Let alone whichever dark quarters they are getting powers from. Their God himself can't do anything about it. Because we have overcome. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world. This. The faith that comes out of you because you have understood the truth. He said, that faith, 1 John 5:4, is the victory that overcomes the world. So I am walking, living, manifesting dominion without apology. I have overcome by the word of God. Somebody's story is changing. Hallelujah. Now, get those messages, chew on them. I remember, I think it's in the early 2010, 11, when I knew that my path was with God, that I was going to be a minister, and this is all I was going to do. I started having encounters early, but I made up my mind to really become a preacher from the mid-2000s. I saw a woman of God manifest the power of God. It blew my spirit open. And I said, listen, no more running. We will do this thing. So we're rising and falling. But when we crossed into the 2010s, say no. We are ministers of God. Let's do this thing. I started pursuing knowledge. I will buy books on the road and trek home. You grow in the direction of what you eat. It's not a miracle. You grow. You give yourself to it. And it must show. It must. Nothing can stop it. It must show. So, there is when you gave your heart to Christ. There is when you knew you were called. There is when you said, this calling, this is all we are going to do. It's no more joking. Every spirit will take you serious from there. Praise God. So, give yourself to it. You know, those days, we were buying what we were hearing. Where is the internet for you to just sit down, cross your leg and listen to message? We were buying CD plays. And because you didn't have so much money, anyone you buy, even the tongues that the preacher is praying, you know the tongues. You know, today you can have 100 messages, you just write love on YouTube, they come out. So you have too much, so you are not even feeding. If you buy one CD plate, and that's all you have, you know, CD plate was a blessing because cassettes, would get drawn out. It gets spoiled. The only lantern in the house, you are struggling with it to hear message. They want to use it for light. So you have to wait until everybody goes to sleep. If the lantern is still charged before you can hear message. Then we graduated to CDs. So now that there are CDs, when you save money, maybe for a month and buy one. Even Satan knows that if the man coughs, you will know where they coughed in that message. We heard the whole message until we started speaking the tongues. I can recite tongues of Bishop Oyedepo. Tongues of Pastor Chris. I will be saying the tongues exactly like him. We cram the tongues too. But today, messages are everywhere. People don't have time. You are not even buying it. May God help our generation. Glory to God. So get them. Part 1, part 2, part 3. And then this one. Your life will change. I'm telling you. I may not have the power to change your life. But see this truth. It will change you. The truth is more powerful even than the person saying it. Because these are not my words. It's the word of God. He said in Isaiah 34 verse 16. He says, search ye out of the book of the Lord and read. None of these things will fail. He said, the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. And he said, his spirit gathered it. His spirit. So God uttered it. His spirit aggregated it. If you will collect it, your life can't be the same. Praise God. So tonight, I want to build. There's one more teaching after this one, and we are done with transformational gospel. So tonight, I want to go into the third part of the gospel. I told you, the message of the gospel is divided into three parts. The first part is the actual gospel. The other two parts are the effects of the gospel. What is the first part? It is the message or the revelation of the person of Christ and the works of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Glory to God. So the gospel is the message of Christ and His works. When it speaks of Him crucified, it's speaking of His works. And I told you, when we speak about Christ, there are four major emphases. Number one is as Christ, as God the Son. Co-equal with the Father, co-equal with the Spirit eternally. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. He called himself, I am, the I am. They wanted to stone him because they said he made himself equal to God. So he speaks of Jesus as fully God, eternally co-equal with the Father and the Spirit. Many religions don't know this. They think he's a great prophet or even the greatest prophet. But he is God. Then, the second revelation of Christ is him as Son of God. And we say as Son of God, he's the one who runs the errand of the Godhead. Because there is an administration in the Godhead. There was a time when nothing was created, yet God existed and his civilization was powered without deficiency. And we said in that civilization, the Father acts as the source where the purposes of God finds expression from. And when God wants to fulfill an agenda, the Word is the one who runs that agenda. And when the Word runs an agenda, the Spirit is the one who sustains that agenda. That's the administration of the Godhead. So you hear in the beginning, Genesis 1 verse 1 and 2, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Because God can't send an angel to create, God had to do the work again himself. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And God, that's the Father, said, and the Word went to work. And the Word was recreated. So the Father spoke, the Word went to work, the Spirit animated the reality. Glory to God. So the one that proceeds from the Father to run the errand of the Father within the context of divine administration is Son of God. So Jesus is not only God the Son, he is also Son of God. And within the context of humanity and salvation, he ran that errand in human form. So when we say God the Son, we are referring to Jesus as God in flesh. Because within our own civilization, he was running the errand of the Father in bodily form. So you can say God the Son is God in flesh. That's why 1 Timothy 3:15, the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. It said God was manifest in the flesh. John 1 verse 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word. It said the Word was with God and the Word was God. Then John 1 14, it said the Word became flesh. So God became flesh. When God became flesh, he is no longer God the Son, he is now Son of God. So long as he was in the flesh, he was running an errand for the Father. But when he finished that errand on the cross, he said, return to me the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world. So he ascended back to that glory. So Jesus must be known as God the Son, and he must be known as Son of God. If you don't know this, many scriptures will appear contradictory to you. This is the frustration of Muslims. You hear them telling you, if Jesus is God, who was he praying to? You hear them telling you, if Jesus is God, why did he say the Father is greater? If they don't have the revelation of Son of God, they can't know. Because when Jesus was running salvation, he relinquished himself of the glory, the worship, the omnis, so that he will be able to serve that errand. And at that time, his job description was strictly salvation. There were many other things God was doing that Jesus was no longer doing because his job description was salvation. So on the strength of divine administration, he can say the Father is greater. It is based on responsibility, not on essence. In essence, he is God. But in responsibility, he is now running the errand of a Savior. The Father is not running the errand of a Savior. Praise God. Then you must know Jesus as Son of Man. Daniel 7, 13 and 14. A dominion was handed to him. A government was handed to him. But it was handed to him on the behalf of men, so that we can participate in that kingdom. That's why you and I are priests and kings. We have a stake in the kingdom of God now because we have a rep. At least in Nigeria here, it's easy to understand. The reason your village has hope is because there is, well, supposed to. I don't know if there is. But there is supposed to be a senator that speaks on behalf of where you came from. So, all of us will not go to the House of Senate and say, we no go green. No. It's your senator that speaks on behalf of you there. So if your senator is sleeping, sorry. If your senator receives their location for your constituency and decide that instead of having water here, I need a Ferrari. Then when you see the Ferrari going, that's your drinking water. So when you see the Ferrari, you do like this. You have drunk water. He's driving your water. But you see, Jesus as Son of Man is our representation in the community of the Godhead. So we have a stake with God because we have a rep. That's why till today, 1 John 2:1, the Bible said, we have an advocate with the Father. He said, if any man sin, he said, we have an advocate with the Father, He said, Jesus Christ, he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Next verse. He said, and he's the propitiation for our sin. Not our sins only, for this, but the sins of the whole world. So he represents you and I there. He's our advocate there. This office is the office of Jesus as Son of Man. So you can come to God at any time, but he's in Christ. Praise God. And then you must have the revelation of him as the Christ, the Messiah. And I say as the Messiah, it's not just as your Savior, but it's also the anointed one and his anointing. So it's an office that empowers you and legitimizes you to represent God. So why a Son of Man is representing you to God, God has an agenda on earth. He is no longer here in person to represent God's interest. He is now in heaven representing your interest. So God needs his interest represented on earth. So what he did was that within the caveat of Christ, he brings you into a status to be able to represent God's interest as though Jesus was the one doing it. So when you go out now and you are speaking for God, you speak as though it's Jesus that was speaking. The office that empowers you to function like that is called Christ. You know, in Nigeria, for instance, we have many ministries. There's the Ministry of Women Affairs. There's the Ministry of Petroleum. There's the Ministry of Solid Minerals and all of that. There's the Ministry of Defense. Now, you know, the president is supposed to be the one occupying and advancing his agenda in all of those fronts. But it would be impossible for him to be there. So what does he do? He creates an office called the office of the minister. And he puts the minister there. So anybody he appoints, and may God help us, so that they appoint people. I'm showing you government, spiritual government. If he chooses to pick somebody and say he's my friend, but he doesn't know what he's doing, oh, my Father. Anybody he appoints, if the Senate approves the person and they put the person in that office, so long as that ministry is concerned, he's speaking for the president. So the president does not need to come to the Ministry of Defense and talk. When the Minister of Defense talks, it's the president talking. Now, the empowerment to speak for the president within the context of the Ministry of Defense is an office. The office of the Minister of Defense. So when God wants a representation on earth, Jesus should have been the one representing God. But now Jesus is with God the Father in heaven. How will God have a legitimate entity representing him here? He creates an office called the Christ. That's why that office is powered by the anointing. It's called the anointed one and his anointing. So when you step into that office, you are empowered to be able to represent God. So when we recognize Jesus as the Christ, it becomes an empowerment to represent God. This is why when you are representing Jesus, it doesn't matter who is fighting you from your village. When we don't know these things, we say we are representing Christ, but we are still saying village people. No, I'm not representing Christ as Michael. I'm representing Christ within the space allocated me in that office. So when I enter that office, my village people can't do nothing about me. If the president appoints somebody and says, this is Minister of Defense, and he goes to defense to talk, how can his village people come? He's not talking as him. He's talking from an office. It's the office that is actually talking. It's not him talking. If the president appoints somebody as an ambassador, the Senate approves, and that person is sent to represent the country in the U.S., it's that office that is talking. The person can be a man, it can be a woman, it can be short, it can be tall. It doesn't matter. It's the office they see, not the person. Have you not seen some people in offices? And you are wondering that on a normal day, if you slap them, they will faint. But if they talk from that office, you can be killed. So scanning your head, you know what I'm saying. Check out some senators, check out some governors, check out some presidents in Africa. so that I won't be arrested tomorrow. Presidents in Africa. I didn't call any country. Some can't even talk. But it's the office. If you make the mistake of saying, who is this? Get out. You will be shocked. An army will rise up and lynch on you. Because it's not a man. It's an office. So when God wants you and I to represent him, he won't come and say, you go. Your village people can follow you. But what it does is that it carries you through an office called the Christ. So there's an anointing that comes on your life. Now when you step out, even if your village people come, they won't see you. It's an office they are seeing. You go to a senator, to a minister, or to an ambassador and say, this is my uncle from the village. I will need to talk to him. They will say, do you have an appointment? That's where they will start from. Who is talking to your uncle here? Do you have an appointment? If you don't have an appointment, you'll be shocked. Now, that your uncle can say, who is that? They say, he says it's your brother. They let him get out. You can be shouting, it's me, Donatus. Get out from there. It's an office. You know, we don't know these things though. It looks simple, but we don't know it. That's why you send somebody to a city. He says it's a difficult place. He says demons. How can demons break in through Christ? He said, I don't know. It's not working. How can Christ not work? You send somebody to a place. He said, me like this. I'm small. Who is looking at your size? You are going in an office. The office is ancient. The office is eternal. The office is immortal. Because you are young, be respectful. It means you have character. But let no man despise thy youth. See, when I stand up here talking to you, I forget my gender, I forget my age. I'm talking from an office. You'll be greatly mistaken looking at me and say, who is this young man? What does he think he knows? You will be joking, sir. When I talk, ancient demons flee. When I talk, circumstances change. When I talk, things are altered. Because when I come, it's an office. And it's not about me. It's about every believer who has the revelation of Christ. So when Paul said we preach Christ, he was bringing us into the different revelation of his person and the implications of that revelation. So when I know him as God the Son, I worship him as God. When I know him as Son of God, I am sure that I'm saved. Because what he came for is achieved. When I know him as Son of Man, I am sure that in the realm of God, I have representation. So when I go to talk to God, I'm not afraid. I'm not insufficient. Because when I talk to God, God hears me through Christ. That's why I said, whatever you ask the Father in my name. So when I'm talking to God, there is audacity, there is confidence, there is assurance, because I'm talking through an office. God won't chase me out because I'm going inside Jesus. When I make a request, I won't be wondering, will it be answered? Will it not be answered? As far as I'm concerned, God can ask God for something and God refuses. Jesus said, I thank you, O Father, that you always hear me. So anytime I come to the Father and I say in the name of Jesus, Father, it's like God is talking to God. Because I'm talking through the Son of Man. But some of us don't know. That's why we pray. We still don't think it's answered. We go to pray. We think we are not qualified. We think we are insufficient. The moment you come, he said, come boldly to the throne of grace. We come with boldness. I don't feel insufficient when I go to pray because I'm praying through an office. And then when I go out to represent God, I don't feel insufficient. I am going in an office. I know the place of process where God will shape your character, shape your conviction, shape your understanding. I know that. But when God sends you, you have everything you need. No nation can reject you. No devil can kill you. No circumstance can defile you. It can only defy you if it can defy Christ. Because you came in Christ. Those of us who travel, we see things. When you are traveling, two of you can come to the immigration as Nigerians. One person will have the international passport. Another one will have a diplomatic passport. Both of you are speaking the same language, the same skin color. But the way they receive you is different. They will search you like a thief. But the guy with the diplomatic passport will pass, they will salute him. That means it's not about being a Nigerian. It's not about having a skin color. Which passport is authorizing you? That's what it means to be in the Christ. And in the name of Jesus, somebody's eyes opening. I tell some people to preach, to stand in for me and preach. And you hear them saying things like, how can I wear your shoe? And I say, no, don't say those things. You are not stepping into my shoes. You are stepping into the shoes of Jesus. So if you are stepping into the shoes of Jesus, is it my shoes that is too big for you? Stop those religion. When you come, the Bible says, if any man speaks, let him speak as a custodian of the oracles of God. You are talking on the behalf of God. That's where your audacity comes from. My son, one of my sons, called me some days ago, Penia. And he said, he's going to Pakistan. He doesn't know. Should he go? What? I said, go and take over. When me, I even went, there was political crisis. I went. Now things are calm. Church is that, go and take over. And I'm seeing testimonies. Some of the miracles he's not seeing here, he's seeing in Pakistan. Because, you know, when he's in Nigeria, I'm at home. So he can depend on his citizenship in Nigeria. Now he's in a foreign land. He's depending only on God. Only on God. And now he's seeing that the other things he was depending on is a disadvantage. We represent God because of Christ. We are bold when we approach God because he's Son of Man. We are sure we are saved because he's Son of God. And we pray to him and recognize him as God because he's actually God the Son. These are the revelation of his person. So when Paul said we preach Christ, this is what he was saying. And then he said we preach him crucified, his works. And I've taken time to explain to you his death, his burial, his resurrection. And I told you the implications. And I don't have time to go into it. Then I said all of this revelation is the first aspect of the gospel. The revelation of Christ and him crucified. Then I said the other two aspects are actually the effects of the gospel. And I said the first effect of the gospel is the revelation of who you have become. Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians 5:19. He said, whoever is in Christ Jesus, no, verse 17. Whoever is in Christ Jesus, he said, he is a new creature. So they didn't just preach Christ. They preach also who you have become on account of your union with Christ. Because it's possible that you don't know. So Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he said, he's a new creature. He's informing you. He said, all things are passed away. And he now said, behold. The word behold is idol. Become aware. Because if you are not told, you may not be aware. You can be saying, Jesus died for me. Jesus rose from the dead. But you won't know the implication. You will still be sick. You will still be demonized. You will still be struggling. Because you know who he is. You know what he has done. But you don't know the implication. So Paul said, become aware that all things have become new. And in verse 18, he said, all these things are of God. John was speaking in 1 John 5:17 to 13. He said, this is the record. There is a record about you and I. He said, God has given us eternal life. He said, this life is in the Son. He said, whoever has the Son has life. 1 John 5:11-13. Because you may not know the implication of having the Son. So John is telling you that if you have the Son, it means you have life. And then he now went further in verse 13. And he said, this life is the life of God. And he said, these things I am writing to you so that you will know that you have eternal life. So they also took time to tell us who we are. Peter was speaking in 2 Peter 1 verse 3 and 4. He said, according as his divine power, he has given us. He didn't say he will give us. He's showing you the implication. He said he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. And he said, and he called us to glory and to virtue. In verse 4, he said, whereby, by the exceeding great and precious promises he offered us, he made us to be partakers of his divine nature. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. He said, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 3, 21. He said, don't glory in things. He said, all things are yours. So when you read the Bible, you are going to find these guys telling you about your new identity in Christ. Because when you know Christ, you will discover that you will know yourself anew. You can't know Christ and not know yourself. So when they preach Christ, they also reveal to you who you have become. Because knowing Christ has an effect. That's why Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians 3, 18. He said, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory, even as by his Spirit. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul said, we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. They kept saying it everywhere. John was speaking in John 4, 17. He said, as he is, so are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven. They needed us to understand that in Christ we have a new identity. And I said, all of that syllabus is what the Bible referred to as the new creation. Because you were recreated. You were recreated. You are not the man you were before you know Christ. But if you are not taught, you may be in Christ, but you may be judging yourself to be the man you were before you met Christ. The man that you were before you met Christ, demons could torment. But now that you have met Christ, demons no longer have the power over you. Unless you don't know. Because you were transferred from the dominion of darkness, Colossians 1:13, to the dominion of light. So you are no longer under the government of Satan. The man you were before you met Christ, sickness could kill that man. But this new man in Christ, sickness should not be able to kill him. Because if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he quickens your mortal body. Romans 8:11. The man you were before you meet Christ could be stranded in life. He could be foolish. He could be manipulated. But this man that is in Christ, the Bible said in Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, that you have the mind of Christ. So this new man is a man of wisdom. You may not have studied it, but at the nick of time, your mind will open up. But if you don't know, you will still be acting as though you were the defeated man who didn't know Christ. That's why when you see Christians today, you wonder what is the purpose of Christianity. Because we are all struggling with the same hospitals that the unbelievers are struggling with. We are all struggling with the same disfavor that the unbelievers are struggling with. We are all struggling with the sicknesses that the unbelievers are struggling with. Everything the unbeliever is going through is what we are going through. So what then did Jesus do? Unless Jesus came to give us a religion. But when I studied my Bible, it wasn't a religion. He came to birth new beings. Who carry the life of God? Who have the mind of God? Who have the righteousness of God? Who have the anointing of the Spirit? He came to recreate new beings. So the question is, why are you not yet aware that you have the life of God? Because the proof that you know is not in talking. It says if you know the truth will make you free. If you know, it's not about talking, it's about showing. Because having the life of God means you are in the class of God. And if you are in the class of God, it means the things God is capable of, you should be capable of. My son has my life. I walk, he walk. I talk, he talk. He's capable of doing what I'm capable of. So if Jesus came to give you life, where is the life? What is the implication? The reason is because we have not been taught who the new creation is. We have not been taught what the new creation carries. We have not been taught how the new creation should live. So when we teach the gospel, We also teach the effects of the gospel. And so we tell you who you now are in Christ. We tell you what you have in Christ. And we tell you how to live in Christ. It's a syllabus called the Doctrine of the New Creation. Philemon 1:6 said that the communication of your faith. It's not just not talking of your faith. It means the lifestyle of your faith. Is that it becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So, for instance, me, when I have anything that has to do with the mind, I don't think I can be defeated. Not because I have a very high IQ. No. Because I studied my Bible, and as a new creation, I realized I have the mind of Christ. And when I studied the life of Christ, there was nothing that took him unawares mentally. The Pharisees literally set traps for Jesus. But all the time, he outsmarted them. If I have that mind, I don't see any problem that can overwhelm me. As touching living right in this world, I tell myself, I have the righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him that was without sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So I believe I can live right. I may fall, I won't remain there. Because he said, a righteous man falls seven times he rises again. He didn't say a righteous man may not fall. But even if he falls, he will rise. Have you seen children who learn to walk? Many times they fall. They don't remain on the floor. They stand up because they know the ability to walk is in them. So a child may use 6 months before he or she is able to sit. It may take 8 months before she's able to crawl or crawl. It may take 1 year before the child begins to walk. And in walking, the child will walk and fall, walk and fall. Have you seen any child who fell and say, I'm not walking again? No. There is the nature that supports walking. So even if that child falls 100 times, the child will rise up. Inherently, intrinsically, that child knows it can walk. So I know I have the righteousness of God. So if I fall, I rise. And as I'm learning it, the more I learn it, the more the timeline of falling begins to expand. And sometimes for months, sometimes for years, things that used to knock me down no longer knock me down. Because I knew I had the righteousness of God. I know I have the Spirit of God. I know I have the anointing of God. See, that's why I dare things. I prayed for people before. Instead of being healed, they died. I didn't give up. I prayed for people before. They were not healed publicly. After I boasted that they would be healed. But I didn't stop. I knew I carried the anointing. The same anointing Jesus had. Because in Acts 10:38, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Acts 1:8, we were also anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. So, I know there is something I didn't know. That's why the person was not healed. But you will need to take me to another lifetime to convince me that I'm not anointed. See, when we travel around the world, even when people see miracles, they say, all these fake preachers. I just wave it off. You can't convince me otherwise. I know I'm anointed. I know it. And then I know I have the faith that moves mountains. Because Romans 12:3 said, God dealt unto me the measure of faith. And Paul told us in Galatians 2:20 that faith is the faith of the Son of God. So I know the same faith Jesus had is the faith I have. So I can try something, it will fail. Check me out tomorrow and still trying it. And then sometimes, I'm trying a lower thing. It's not yet working. I'm now daring a higher one. And you are like, are you mad? You can't leave one bucket of water. Why are you trying to? That faith won't let you rest. That's the life of the new creation. I know the Spirit of God is in me. See, there are many times I fell sick. I told myself, I'm not taking drugs. I prayed in tongues. Prayed in tongues. After 3 days, the thing became too much. I took drugs. Sickness came again. I say, I'm not taking drugs. This time, when we fight, I will labor, quote scriptures, memorize scriptures, proclaim scriptures. After 4 days, you'll not start asking questions like, is it paracetamol, extra panadol, or diclofenac? But see, we didn't stop. When we When your faith, our faith can't carry it, we subscribe because God is not against medicine. But today, that faith has grown. When the thing hits you, you say never. Highest 2 days it will disappear. Highest. But it's because we knew there was a spirit in us. He said that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. If he used the word if. So the proof that is there is that when your mortal body wants to give way, that spirit will set in. Quicken your mortal body. My liver can't fail. My lungs cannot fail. This my leg will carry me until I'm 80. You won't find me. See, these eyes, I will use it until I'm 80. No part of my body will fail. I will use all until my purpose is accomplished. And there's no demon anywhere that can start doing rehearsals or experiment with any part of my body. Not my tongue, not my eyes, not my ears. Let's see how to deafen somebody. Not this ear. This ear will hear until my assignment is over. This eye will see. These eyes, they will see until my assignment is over. These legs will walk until my assignment is over. See this, my lungs, it will walk until my assignment is over. My kidney will walk until, because if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me, did Jesus' own fail him? Why will my own fail me? Is it not the same spirit that sustained Jesus? Even when they wanted to kill him, they could not kill him. Jesus himself said, this commandment I've received from my Father. I have the power to lay down my life, to take it up. They couldn't kill him. He was the one who gave up the ghost. If that spirit was that powerful, that man who hated him could not kill him. Sickness could not kill him. Why will I die because of mosquito? No, it can't happen. If that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he quickens your mortal bodies. He's got the doctrine of the new creation. See, we don't know this. That's why we are doing rituals. So somebody can pray for 10 hours. All he comes out is with sweat. What do you mean? If I want to sweat, I don't know. Are there no other ways to sweat? When I pray as a new creation, I know now I have access to God. I'm talking to a living God. I'm not a Pharisee that takes pride in long prayers. When I pray, there must be an encounter. When I pray, there must be transformation. When I pray, there must be release of power. And it will show that I have prayed. Have you ever read that Jesus prayed and it came out, all it came out with was sweat? Even at Gethsemane, where he ultimately submitted to the will of the Father, which is transformation, there was so much residue of power that the people approached him and said, whom seek ye? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. They went back and fed. He came with something. He wasn't even manifesting power, but the overflow was too much. How come in our generation, people pray and all they have is a title of prayer champion? Because we don't know who the new creation is. Demons should dread when you show up. How can you be around and demons are oppressing people? No! The new creation is a ruler over the demonic realm. Circumstances should shift when you talk. You don't know? He said, whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, he said, decree that you have it, you will have it. But I tell you, most of us have not understood who we are in Christ. That's why Paul told you the elementary is to acknowledge. He said that the communication of our faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in us in Christ. I'm anointed. I have the same anointing that Jesus had. Because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. I was also anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. I have the faith of Jesus. That same faith Jesus had that raised the dead, that moved mountains. That faith is in me. Because Paul said we have the faith of the Son of God. I have the mind of Christ. The same mind that Jesus had that the Pharisees couldn't confuse him. Nothing, no manipulation can take me unawares. I have a mind superior to the mind of man. 1 Corinthians 2:16, he said, we have the mind of Christ. We judge all things. See, I can be sleeping and still be knowing things. So, when we say come to church, it's not to teach you religious rituals. No. It's to awaken you into who you are. Your eternal dimensions. Your immortal dimensions. Paul didn't know the name to call us. He had to call us new creations. We are a new species. We have never been on the scene before. Have you heard of any being before Christ who touched cancer and cancer disappeared? who spoke to deaf ears and they opened. That specie was not in existence until Christ came. And when Christ came, he came to multiply himself. I'm one of the multiplications. I was teaching recently. I said, listen, when you read the Bible, know who you are. You are not the woman with the issue of blood. You are the one who came with virtue. You are not blind Bartimaeus. You are the one who opens blind eyes. A religious man heard it and said, I'm careful with this kind of revelation. And then, no, not just talking. Are you after the people Jesus was dealing with? Are not part of the new covenant. They are not part of the new covenant. Now, check out the people that came after Jesus. They took the order of Christ. Because John said, as he is, who are we? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we model Christ, not the people Jesus was ministering to. When you read the Acts of the Apostles, tell me which of them behaved like Bartimaeus. Tell me which of them behaved like the woman with the issue of blood. Which one? Is it Paul that his handkerchief was healing the sick that looked like Bartimaeus? Is it Peter that said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have I give you, rise up and walk, that was Bartimaeus? Is it Peter that his shadow was healing the sick that was Bartimaeus? If a man's shadow is healing the sick, is that a man that sickness can live in? Is it the Paul that said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in us, quickens our mortal body? You know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying we don't need to pray against sickness. There is a default system that tackles sickness. If you put an antivirus in a laptop, do you need to pray for virus not to enter? There is an inbuilt system that tackles virus. Paul is saying the Holy Ghost is an inbuilt system that tackles sickness. So ideally, a believer shouldn't pray against sickness. There is a spirit. There is a spirit. It quickens. It vitalizes. My cells are alive. No, my organs are alive. Sarika para katina tali. Fete tatali attack. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. Say, say something from your spirit, man. It's a dead that believe. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living waters. You know why we keep emphasizing this? We are trying to re-engineer your consciousness. See, that's why I keep saying it. Your spirit need to catch it. Don't find yourself in that place. This cancer, as the doctor said, it's in stage 4. It will kill me. No, cancers don't kill us. If that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you. See, speak in tongues. I'm not saying disregard the doctor, but there is a higher report. There's a higher report. Speak in tongues. Stir your spirit. You will be shocked. Something will rise from your spirit and kill the cancer. I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I'm stranded. No, you can't be stranded. You have the mind of Christ. It's either you change the situation or the situation is frozen. Go and read about Jesus. There were times when they asked him questions, he answered. There were other times when they arrested him. They took him to a cliff to throw him off. Jesus didn't know what to tell them. But he didn't need to talk. The Bible said when they got to the cliff, he walked through them. So sometimes we don't answer with words. We answer by altering the whole cosmos. By new creation. and you are born after the order of the Christ. He said we are partakers. Partakers of his divine nature. You ask yourself, check yourself. What about you resembles divinity? He made us. 2 Peter 1:4. Partakers. We co-inherit with his divinity. We have become members of a godly company, a godly pantheon. We are in the order of divinity. How many divine beings are sick? How many divine beings are confused? You are the only one. And it stops from today. I'm not saying you won't go through warfare in the area of health, in the area of direction, in the area of resources. I'm saying when you go through the water, don't drown. When you go through the fire, don't burn. Tell yourself, I'm coming out stronger. Because there is something about me. God lives on my inside. Divinity is tabernacled here. Say, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. God is in me. I told you, in the Old Testament, God was in a wooden box called the ark. In the New Testament, God lives in your heart. I'm the ark. They couldn't destroy the ark. Even when the Philistines took the ark, put the ark before their own God, Dagon fell before the ark. Take my name to a shrine. See what happens to you. Even when the ark is not praying, God is there. If the wooden ark knows, is it me that will know? He alone. New creation. You are in the order of God. But can I tell you, even God's fall. You know how God's fall? Number one, through ignorance. He said, they know not, neither will they understand. He said, I've said unto you, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. But because they know not, he said, they will fall like one of the princes. So even God's fall. The reason God remains forever is because he knows. You know how God's fall? Number two, when God violates the ordinances of the realm that they created. That's why God does not violate his own word. Because what sustains the integrity of God is the words that governs their realm. So if you don't know the word of God, you may be a God, a God-man rather, but you'll be shocked that you'll fall like a fallen prince. So when the apostles taught the gospel, number one, they preached Christ and him crucified. Then they preached the new creation as the first effect of the gospel. The first. The gospel is not a historical fact. It is an eternal truth and it has implication. And the first implication is that those who understand it, believe it and receive it are transformed. And they are transformed into that which they see. So if you hear the word of God, you become like the word of God. He said, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. The word is metamorphosis. That's why things that you didn't appear to have will start appearing. How does an egg become a winged creature? Oh, him in the air. Sit down for a moment. Let's. That's who you are.
That's who you are. Oh, him in the air. Oh, pa, no get mama. That's who you are. That's who you are. I went to Kaduna to preach. A woman came 6 months after her miracle. She said she must testify. She wasn't even in the meeting. She was hearing this truth. She was bedridden, couldn't walk. She was hearing the thing was. A point came, it became like electric current. It jacked her leg. She stood up and began to walk. If the thing enter you, you can't be normal. Ezekiel said, when I saw him, I fell like a dead man. He said, but he spoke. The word entered me and carried me up. He said, holy men of God spake as they were carried. The word can carry you from failure to glory, from death to life, from sickness to vitality. It will carry you. I'm telling you, how do you think you were framed? You were framed by the word. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. You were framed by the breath. He said he gathered the dust. He breathed into his nostril. He became a living soul. It's the word and the breath that formed you. So when we talk, the breath of the spirit goes with the word. That's why he says, search it out of the book of the Lord and read. He said the mouth of the Lord uttered it. His spirit gathered it. What you are interacting with is the word and the spirit. Even death is not an issue. I don't know what's happening, but see, some of you, right, doors are opening. Telling you, those things you saw as limitation, they will give way, because when the word of God moves, everything clears. Some of you that were diagnosed of terminal diseases, you will go back to the same doctor. They will tell you a new kidney has appeared. Your lungs has been corrected. Your liver has changed. Your heart has changed. You won't understand. Because all things were sustained by the word of the power. All things are sustained by the word of his power. When you are hearing, beyond hearing, life is entering you. He said, the words I speak, they are spirit. They are life. I've preached like this. People got new organs. Somebody's life is changing. I know before now, all you know is the village where you came from. It's your grandfather, your great-grandfather. But I came to you with a superior witness. You are not just from Unsuka. It's not just about, I'm the son of Chibuzo. Chibuzo is the son of Emeka. No, sir. There are higher dimensions. You are born after the God kind. As he is, so are you in this world. There's something about you that the word of God would activate in your life. And when it happens, even demons will flee when you show up. The same thing they do when they see God. You'll be shocked when they see you, they will do it. Because when they see you, they will see God in you. I was reading Galatians 3:27. The Bible said, whoever is born of God, he said he has put on the Lord Jesus. He has put on. I'm clothed with Christ. You know what that means? That means when you see me, it's the image of Jesus, you see. He said, you have put on the Lord Jesus. You have put on. I'm clothed with Christ. He said, the name of the Lord is named upon you. So, I don't need to say in the name of Jesus. When I come, I am, the name is named upon me. So, I come in the name of Jesus. When the president sends an ambassador or a minister to represent him, does he need to come and stand and say in the name of the president? No. If he's talking, the president is talking. Your name is higher above all than it. The name of Jesus.
Your name.
Your name is Lord. Your name is
Jesus. Your name is Lord.
Your name is Lord.
Go read your Bible and pay attention. The Bible says, Paul was teaching in Lystra. He saw a man born impotent from the mother's womb, and he perceived that he had faith to be healed. He said, Jesus makes you heal. Rise up. They were just talking. Changing things. When the shadow of Peter was healing the sick, was he saying, in the name of Jesus? In the name? No, he came in the name of the Lord. See, some of you from today, you will enter places, things will begin to happen. And whatever Satan has planted in your life, in your body, they are living now. They are crushed out of you. They are terminated now. Whatever program Satan has worked you into that has manipulated your seasons and your outcome, they are reversed right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are transformed and you are stepping into a new season. In Jesus' mighty name. We waste too much time talking about devils and what they do. We don't tell people about Jesus, about what he has done, about who they are. That's why, although there are many sermons, the gospel is still not yet preached. The way some of us fear native doctors, but we still use our mouth to curse children of God. And what you don't know is that a believer who gives his heart to Christ today is higher than the most dangerous DPI in the world. But when they say native doctor, you are already panicking. But you see a Christian that carries the image of God, and you can maltreat the person. It shows where your consciousness is. You go to a house, they say, the person who lived here before was a ritualist. You want to die. But they say the light shineth in the darkness. He said the darkness comprehends, because you showed up. See, every demon who didn't move when they heard you were coming, they should take off before you came. Neighbors should be telling you that for the past 3 days, every night we are hearing sound as though some things are running. How can they wait for you to come? There is darkness in this room. The moment you switch on the light, nobody tells the darkness. How they even go out is scary. They just disappear. No wonder the Bible said they will come in one way, they will flee in seven. Somebody's life has changed. You will be walking from one level of victory to another level of victory, to another level of victory, to another level of victory. Come on, clap your hands, oh yeah, people. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. That they told you are finished. When you leave this service, you will go and tell them that you are finished, not me. Audacity will rise. Audacity. See, that's why when you hear the gospel, faith is a natural byproduct. Faith. You know, we don't really teach faith. When we preach the gospel, faith is born. Who is that devil that will confront you successfully? That devil was not created. They don't exist. Sit down for a moment. We are out of time. I have just 20 minutes. I'm just a woman. I'm just a small girl. I'm not talking gender. I'm talking powers. Powers. You wield the powers of the ages to come. Not gender. And in case you say you are small, there is a caveat for you. You see, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength.
when they came back from casting out devils, Jesus said, thank you, Father, that you have hid this from the wise and the prudent. You have revealed it to babes. So even babes operate powers in this kingdom. You go to the witchcraft coven, you will find young girls of 6 years who are grandmasters. And in the kingdom for 10 years, you say, I don't know if our level, if we can handle this kind of thing. If you can't handle, who devil is senior to you when you are in Christ? But they told you too much about the power of devils. How somebody shouted, the river dried, a tree dried. So you carry those stories, you grew with them. But have you heard that any of them went to the grave and came back? Talking, the tree you are hitting that dry up is God that created it, and God created the possibility of drying. That's why you can translate it to drying in the first place. And beyond creation, God went to the grave and came back. I'm talking something superior here. Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. It's in the song class.
Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. You are holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord.
The third dimension of the gospel is what we really call the transformational gospel. It's the gospel that imparts people, imparts systems, imparts territories, and imparts nations. If truly people are being transformed, then it has to move from conversion to culture. Because those who sustain culture are people. If I'm from a place called Otupa in Benue State, the people from where I came from in the flesh, you know, Jesus, even the body, according to the flesh, it was the seed of David. The people who are from there, they believe in the spirit of the dead. So you'll hear things like the ancestors are coming to do whatever. There's even a day where, or a week, where they say, Jaliku, they honor the dead. Pour oblations for them. I say those spirits are lucky. If all the Otupa people are like me, they will pack. Because if people are truly converted, it should affect culture. If culture remains, it means people are not truly converted. So the reason why we teach the transformational gospel is because we want to increase the wavelength. It's from conversion to culture. It's from salvation to civilization. If we say those who are in power are truly Christians, then the government should become like the church. The value system should be reflected from mercy to compassion to integrity to generosity. But when you find that civilization is not reflecting the culture of heaven, it means the salvation is not genuine. This is why we don't just preach and stop when we preach the message of Christ. We need to let people know. Now that you say you have the righteousness of God, there's an implication. Now that you say you have the wisdom of God, there's an implication. Now that you say you have the character of God, mercy inclusive, there's an implication. So I want to show you the 8th component of the transformational gospel. This is where we call it applied gospel. Because if we teach the gospel and we don't apply it such a way that it impacts civilization, impacts territories, impacts nations, Christianity will become a nuisance to society. And I will show you how most of the first world countries today that hold the values of freedom, liberty, equity, justice, I will show you that at the foundation of those civilizations is revival. Is the preaching of the gospel. From the Europe to the Americas, you go trace it. Any nation today that holds the value of equity, integrity, justice, freedom, liberty. Now, there are politicians trying to bastardize it. But when you go to the foundation of those civilizations and you see the values they uphold, you will know that the gospel went before those values were born. This is why Paul told us in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I told you that it's not only men that need salvation. The systems and the creation itself needs salvation. Why? Because it's not only men that fell. Of course, men fell, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. But if you study Psalm 82 verse 5, the Bible said, because we fell, the foundation of the earth was out of course. And Romans 8:19 told us, in fact, Romans 8:21 told us that creation is in travail. Creation wants to break out of the bondage of corruption. But creation is waiting for the saved men to extend the salvation. That's why verse 19 said, the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So if there is salvation, it should impact civilization. If there is conversion, it should impact culture. If it's not yet impacting it, it means those who are saved are either not saved or they have not begun to make positive, applicable, the salvation they have received. And so when men are transformed, society must be transformed. But for society to be transformed, there are 8 components of the gospel that must be taught in an applied way. The problem we have is that the gospel is not taught in an applied way. And I'm going to show you these 8 components as we break down in a moment. Number 1 is the righteousness component. You know, within the context of the gospel, Jesus is the righteous. 1 John 2:1 and 2, the Bible calls him the righteous. But you see, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible said he gave us that righteousness. It said he made him that was without sin to become sin for us, that we should become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he gave us that righteousness that he had. In fact, Romans 5:17, the Bible said, there we receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You see that? But they didn't just receive it. He said they should reign through life. So that righteousness is expected to impact their world, impact their generation, impact, because that righteousness is designed to make them reign. But the only way that righteousness can make them reign is when that righteousness is not just a nature, but lived. Because that nature must be lived out. I have the nature of a man. That nature supports talking. But if I'm not talking, I can't impact society. I'm not imparting you today because I'm a man. I'm imparting you today because I am ventilating my nature through communication. So when you have righteousness as a nature, and you teach people that righteousness is a gift, it's a nature, and you stop there, society cannot be imparted. So in 1 John 3:7 and 10, John told us something. He said, this righteousness, we received it so that we can live it. He said, little children. Because oftentimes, those who don't apply righteousness are children. When you really mature, you will know that the essence of righteousness is not just to give you right standing with God, but to translate God's possibility to your world. He said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And in verse 10, he made a statement, indeed, the children of God are manifest from the children of the devil. And he said, whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. So we don't just have the nature of righteousness, we are expected to also do righteousness. To do righteousness. Paul said,
It is in the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And you know, faith is works. Faith without works is dead. So righteousness should be lived out. But guess what we have done? We have taught a generation that righteousness is a gift and it's a nature. And that's all. So you find a pastor sleeping with a member of his church and he say, don't worry. We have the nature of righteousness. We are not defiled. That's a criminal. That's not a Christian, let alone being a man of God. You see, a Christian in an office, in charge of money, he steals the money. He still comes to church. He says, glory, we are the righteousness of God. You are a thief. Because righteousness does not steal. So we build systems that manage iniquity. And we run that system through secrecy and deception. That's why you can't approach many people in authority, whether in church or outside church. They weaponize honor. Whereas the focus is not honor. They need secrecy to power their empire. So you hear things like, when you are simple, when you are accessible, people, I know the place of creating healthy boundaries. But when a system runs purely on secrecy, know that something is wrong. We are children of the light. We are children of the day. We don't hide in the dark. And if you are here, and whatever your pastor taught you has made your conscience to become numb, so much so that you are sinning with your pastor or sinning wherever you should be representing God, and you are being deceived that you are righteousness. 1 John 3:10 said, if you don't do righteousness, you are not of God. It says you are a child of the devil. When we understand righteousness as not just a nature, but a nature that should bet a lifestyle, then we are able to impact society. You know why? Proverbs 14:34 said, righteousness exalts a nation. It says sin is a reproach. So when you find a nation that is not great, it's because righteous men are not there. It doesn't matter how many million men are confessing righteousness. When righteous men appear in a nation, the Bible says that nation must be exalted. If a nation is not exalted, righteous men are not there. They have been deceived to say they are righteous. Because if this thing is in you, it will grow in you. Sir, I didn't pray to start walking. I had the nature of a man. And that nature supports walking with two legs. If I needed prayer to walk with two legs, it means I'm sick. So any nation where men claim they are righteous and the nation is not being exalted, it means those righteous people are sick. Because if that nature is there, it will support the lifestyle. And if that lifestyle is demonstrated, the nation will be exalted. Do you know? When the Lord started teaching me this thing, I was driving on the road and the light was red. The traffic light. I looked left, looked right. No car was coming. I said, oh, the traffic light was designed to prevent accident. There's no vehicle anywhere. So I drove off and I heard that's an unrighteous act. I didn't steal money. I didn't sleep with anybody. He said, you violated the law. Then everybody agreed that this light should regulate us. He said, you have violated it. I'm telling you. And I said, but how about in the night? I'm telling you how God was dealing with me. And my spirit man, wisdom, began to speak through me. Because wisdom is profitable to direct. And this was what the spirit wisdom spoke to me. He said, because your government is irresponsible to provide security, if the traffic light is red and you are in a place where your life will be endangered, wisdom demands you drive on. So if I'm driving in the night and I know if I park, I can be shot, and there's no traffic, no car is coming, I'm not going because I'm violating the light. I'm going because the government have not provided security. But in the daytime or in a secure place, if I beat the traffic light, I have violated something. I'm telling you. So if you are righteous, you will apply it everywhere. They should look at you and say, sorry, oh, there's this money we are putting together. You are the only person we think if we give, the money will be saved. Not that they gave you money, they say we need it tomorrow. You start praying. Where will I find this money? What do we do? No. In case they mark those notes, you should bring it back and they should see that it was the same note they gave you, you return. Look at our churches today. See the number of CCTVs, especially in the offering room. Meanwhile, offering is being counted by deacons and pastors. But we trust the CCTV more than the deacons and the pastors. Because I don't want to tell you some things. So that so if you can't trust pastors with offering, is it souls you can trust them with? So we have rogues who are polished to speak well with suit. But there's no righteousness. The proof that we are righteous is that our nations will be exalted. It's not our talking. So when you see transformational gospel, the emphasis is secret purity. You come to a level in your life where you don't need supervision. The canons, the ordinances that governs your nation and the group you belong, you will die before you violate it. If the gospel has not brought you there, it means the gospel you heard is not complete. And we are teaching incomplete gospels. You need to see the field in church, let alone society. With interaction with one another, with finances, it's a shame. Today, we pray for spiritual gifts so that we can merchandise them. The moment the power of God is moving, you must drop money. The message will not end until you put money there. So the purpose of power is to pull money out of people's pocket. And we know our motives are wrong. I'm not saying when God is moving, you should not be able to honor it. He said, cast your bread upon the waters. You will find it after many days. If you are led, you can. And if there is a need in the house and God instructs, we specify the need and tell you why we should take it. But it's not that every time God is moving, we now start pulling. Something is wrong. That's why the power and the authority we should wield is reduced. When you find anybody starts telling you, it doesn't matter what you do, be very careful. You know what he's doing? He's building a system of defense. Because he's doing something and he's trying to pacify the conscience of the people that God is already troubling, that this thing he's doing is wrong. Transformational gospel. Number two. See, where there is true righteousness, there will be reduction in corruption. There will be fair law, fair policies, and governance will be effective. Where there is true righteousness, there will be integrity in leadership and in institutions. Go to most of the institutions that are failing. Check. What are the names of the people there? You will first some even bear Jesus. And somebody is bearing Jesus, but you can't trust him with women. You can't trust him with money, but his name is Jesus. And they have the audacity to bend scripture to manipulate people. Number two is dignity of labor and productivity. The gospel is not idleness. That's why we must be careful when we are pushing the faith for miracles. We shouldn't push people in a bid to believe in miracles and make them become irresponsible. In our own generation now, one of the major focus is miracle money. Now, I believe in it. I believe God can do anything. But you see, when you read your Bible, when did God provide only through miracles. Was it not in the wilderness? You have entered the promised land. Why are you trying to live on manna? I'm not saying that there are no miracles around finances. All of the things they are saying, God can do it. I've experienced it. But if you start pushing miracles to a point where you make people become indolent, you will raise problems for society. So instead of people taking joy in working with their hands, they are praying in tongues for money to appear in their account. Because that's what we are pushing. So there's no dignity of labor. Look at our generation today. Everybody is looking for free money. I heard this gospel, sir. I told you my story. Once upon a time, I was thinking one day, the Holy Ghost will lead me to a bush and I will pick money. Because the doctrine was bastardized. So why it is true that God can supply miraculously? He can move somebody who doesn't know you from anywhere to give you money. Money can literally appear anywhere. God is able to do it. That power is with God. But how about the morality of God? How about the program and the agenda of God? Because God, even when man had abundance, God told him to walk. When God put Adam in the garden, the Bible says God told Adam to walk the garden, to dress and to keep it. Because the goal of work is not to remove you from poverty. Work is a system, an educational system in the realm of God. That's why one of the original word for word is ergon. It means to become. So when God says work, that's where he's going to discipline your heart. He will teach you how to manage your fence. That's where he will teach you discipline. That's where he will teach you diligence. That's where he will teach you almost things that words can't teach you. So it's a system of helping people become. If not, why was Adam walking? Because Genesis 2:15, God gave Adam everything, yet God said walk. So if we are teaching people the gospel, while it's important to advocate for miracles, which God will continue doing until he returns, we must master to balance responsibility. Because any gospel that makes you irresponsible didn't help you. So people are waiting for miracle money, miracle everything, miracle, miracle, miracle. Something is wrong. Look at what Paul said. The master preacher of grace. Colossians 3:23. And 2 Thessalonians 3:10. See what Paul said. He said, 23 is my emphasis. He said, and whatsoever you do, he said, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You know the context where he was talking is work. That's why the previous verse you saw, he said, servant, obey your master. So he was talking about work, labor, productivity. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul said, if anybody does not work, he shouldn't eat. So if you can't work, no food for you. You know, I used to, because I'm dealing with young people, I was so liberal in giving them money. Recently, God said, don't give anybody money again. Whatever need they have, before you give them money, give them something to do. It's called dignity of labor. It's a mentality of productivity. He said, for even when we were with you, we commanded you. He said that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. You know what this church were doing? They folded their hand that Jesus is coming soon. They will not waste their time. Paul said, if you don't walk, don't eat. So anybody who comes to beg you, before you give him food, tell him, come, go and fetch water, fill that drum. Sweep the compound. The compound is dirty. Sweep it. You will see lazy young people who should deploy their life. Every day they come. After 3 weeks, they stand in a pitiful way trying to beat on your conscience. Don't be moved. We started a scheme here recently. If you have any idea, bring it. We will probe it and give you a loan. Interest-free loan. We are not dashing you the money. Go and use it and return it. One of my young men recently, I gave him 1 million. I said, let me see what
Because he was going for NYC. I'd supported him already with 150,000. I now gave him 1 million. I said, let me see what you do with it when you return. Oga came back with, I think about 400 and something thousand. He has eaten half a million. Plus his 70,000 alawi. Plus the 150,000 I gave him. When I asked him, you know what he said? He said he sponsored a crusade. I said, no. At your level, you shouldn't sponsor crusade. At your level, you should do street evangelism. And the money you have, you should think of the business to put it in. You have not reached the level of sponsoring crusade. That's not faith. That's foolishness. If you are so burdened about soul winning, go out every day. Win one soul. In 1 year, you win more than 300 souls. The souls you win will be more than the crusade. Unless you tell me the Holy Ghost commanded me, I won't have any counsel against the Holy Spirit. I have some of those kinds of commands before. But if it's not a command, you can't have 1,070,000 alawi. That means that's over 800,000 came into your hand. I paid for his house rent. You didn't pay for house rent. I supported you with 150,000, gave you 1 million. You returned to me with roughly half a million. You are telling me, Pastor Crusade, I send the report. He even said he sent the report to Pastor Godwin. I said, no. There are those who God has raised who can sponsor crusade. At your level, is street evangelism you do. Put your money into business. And if you can't think anything, at least go and put it in a fixed deposit. If it's 3% you'll get, we'll know that in 1 year you got 3%. That's 30,000. Is it 30,000, manager? That is something. He came to me. He thought I would be like, wow. What a burden. No, sir. If you have burden for soul, go on the street. You have not reached the levels. You know, he doesn't know what it means to make 1 million. When, because he got it free, he was seeing figures. Take 150,000, take 200,000, take 300,000. If you now say work for 300,000, maybe he will get a job in a school and earn 30,000, and you make 300,000 in 10 months if he doesn't spend anything. So, those of you who join line, I need their money. I'm going to school. Even students, we are paying school fees for many people. I've told we just created an office, Brother Charles Mugbana. If you know you don't have school fees and you want us to give you, the moment you return for holiday, better report yourself and say, I'm going to return in 3 weeks, in 1 month, I don't have school fees. Is there anything I can do? We will give you a job. Do it. When you are going back to school, we give you school fees. If you show up and say, I don't have school fees, go and pray. School fees will come like manna. Indolence. Recently, I shut down the media department and sacked everybody. I went live on Global Prayer Watch. It was keeping for 45 minutes. Nobody had the intelligence to say, please, we are sorry for the break in transmission. We will be back shortly. Nobody. All of them were there speaking in tongues. I say, you are all sacked. Now, there's nobody in that unit that earns less than 100,000. Meanwhile, they came as volunteers. But I say, they are young people. I will put them on salary. Some earn 250,000. Some earn 200,000. Some earn 100,000. But they can't manage. Now, we have 4 video editors. 4. Every week, I stream live on Tuesday and Sunday. So you are not editing anything. All they do within the week is to make video clips. Guess what? They complain that the work is much. The work is much. I said, maybe you should try a bank. By the time you go to a bank and they say, what we have is marketing job, and they start you off with 120,000 or 100,000. Out of that 100,000 or 150,000, you will pay house rent. You will go to work every day 7:30. You will close by 5. And if you don't bring certain customers, maybe your head will open. Maybe you should try the army. Find out how much they pay those soldiers who are fighting war. You can't sit on top laptop. Recently, somebody said he was drinking tea and the tea poured on an Alienware laptop. And the motherboard got burnt. And he expected that because his church, when he comes and says, he approached me, he prepared a speech. Apostle, I'm so sorry. It's highly regrettable. I take responsibility. I said, what do you mean by take responsibility? Do you know the meaning of I take responsibility? That means you will pay for it. Do you have the money? He doesn't have the money. His salary is 120. His job is just to upload video content. But he's destroying a laptop worth almost 3 million. Because he was taking tea on duty. That in itself is a sanctionable offense. You are not an owner of a business. Who told you can take tea on duty? But it's church. When you now take action, before you know, they'll go online. All these churches are using people. I have more than 50 staff. So I'm talking to you from experience. Laxity. When you are even training them, some of them are frowning. This work we are doing, you don't appreciate it. I have more staff than a bank. How to serve them? I told them to reapply. They are all on probation for 2 months without pay. If you are tired, go. I would rather outsource the media to a media company. Catherine Kuman was using media company. It won't affect my anointing, sir. I do apostolic invasion. I hire out my media. I come with fire. And I won't spend as much as I'm spending. We are not ready. Go to your churches. Any church you know, check the staff. Bankers are more disciplined than them. Soldiers are more disciplined than them. Doctors are more disciplined than them. But we want to change society. Do you know when they come to work? 9 o'clock. Anytime we become serious, they reduce it to 8:30. Now, when they come to work by 9, they pray in tongues for 1 hour. Then they start working by 10. And they go for break. Is it 1 or 2? And when they come back from break by 3, they relax and go home. I asked them, I said, do you know any primary school where they resume work by 8:30? Even my son's school, when you go to drop them by 8, you are late. Primary school staff come to work before 8. But somebody is working in a global church organization. He wants to stroll to work by 8:30. And some of them are applying. People on 250,000 naira salary are applying to work remotely. Because the transport is hard. They can't enter along. When you ask them how much is transport, they say 8,000. Because they want to use Uber to come to work. We have not reached the level of Uber. Wake up by 6:30. Go and get along. Enter 3 buses. 3 along. Get to work by 7:30. If you do it, they say, you are being hard. But if this is the training you receive, which bank will take you? Which army will take you? That's why we can't impact society. We are quoting scriptures, but we are not translating it to impact. I have to shut down. My time is gone. See, people should come to church and go to the office and become better staff because of what they heard. They should call you the best bank staff of the year. And when they ask you why, you say the Bible said. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. So I'm not working for your bank. I'm working for Jesus. You should be the example. But guess what we want? I have a query. Pastor, Professor, let this query, let it be withdrawn. Let nothing happen to me. No. That query will stand. There's something you have not learned from the pulpit, you will learn from the office. We are wasting God's people. No dignity of labor. When you give people work in the days of our fathers, they are honored. So you find me worthy to handle this responsibility. It means more grace has been given to me. Today you give people work, they murmur. Somebody showed up. He didn't have anything to do. I said, put him, Pastor Sonny, put him on salary. Pay him so and so. He started it. The director said, I want to add this responsibility. He started murmuring. That's not my job description. I said, what job description? Which credential did you bring here? But we come to church, we receive prophecy, we receive miracle. We think we can change society with miracles. That's the deception. So you find Christian bankers failing, Christian lawyers failing, Christian soldiers failing on duty. Because they think if they get into problem, we'll prophesy them out. By miracle, they'll be promoted. Meanwhile, there is no, they don't pass their KPIs. They keep falling short, but they want promotion. It's a failed gospel. How can a Christian doctor forget surgical blade in somebody's stomach? When they want to query him, he's coming for night vigil. Please, I don't want to lose my job. Father, you delivered Peter from the prison. You delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Why was Peter in prison? Did he forget surgical blade in somebody's stomach? When we preach the gospel, there will be economic growth. Because men will become productive. There will be reduction in laziness and poor attitude to work. When we preach the gospel, there will be strong work ethic. You come to your job, you come before everybody, you work more than everybody, you meet all your KPIs, and they will ask why. You say, I'm a Christian. When I'm working, I believe Jesus is supervising me. My character is on the line. My integrity is at stake. I have integrity, I have character. I walk like God. God created the work in 6 days. You can't meet any target. You always come with complaint. And when they talk, you say we have God's nature. We are taking over. Dominion is our heritage. That's why everything has become rhymes. No tangible proofs. Number three, I'll just list them. Go and do your studies. Compassion and care for the poor. Our world has become callous because we don't teach compassion. A Christian senator can loot the whole money meant for a constituency and buy a car. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with buying a car. If you have a legitimate source to get it, or if somebody gives you, I have a car. But where's compassion? You have been a senator for 8 years, and no street in your constituency is tarred. Not because there's no allocation. You ate it. Recently, when we started doing crusades, God told us, everywhere we go to, we should give food to the poor and give scholarship to their children. I said, that money can power another crusade. They say it's part of the crusade. You are a Christian. You see somebody selling pure water under hot sun. You have more than enough. You still collected the change of 50 naira. They say, it's not easy. It's not easy. You buy the church card, 10,000 in a week. 30,000 for browsing. But no compassion. Your neighbor's children are at home. School has resumed for 3 weeks. You are not moved to reach out. In case there's no school fees, if you can help. And we have taught this giving message such that it looks like giving begins and ends with church. Because we want to venture into projects that God has not asked us for. So Christians are even more callous, even the ones who say they are givers. Because they want to meet a record. Highest partner for the year. It's not really that he has compassion. It's the ego, the pride, that at the end of the year, I receive the award. And that's why we send Christians to different governmental offices. The nation is not changed. Your leaders are telling you, endure. But they are in luxury. Why is the endurance not across board? We need to raise people who are compassionate. Otherwise, what we are doing is a false religion. James 1:27, it said, pure religion, undefiled, is that you care for widows and for orphans. In Proverbs 19:17, it said, he that lendeth to the poor, he that giveth to the poor, lendeth to the Lord. Jesus himself was teaching in Matthew 25:35 to 40, the basis of reward in eternity. was the works of compassion. Works of compassion. Some of you are here. This is April. You have not helped one person this year. One. But you have begged more than 100 people. That's why nobody is able to give you. He said, give, it shall be given unto you. You have not been moved to help one person this year. This is April. And you say you are a Christian. What has happened to your conscience? Which gospel did you hear? You don't believe Jesus died for you. If you believe, you will become selfless, compassionate, generous in your interaction with people. How do you think missionaries began to establish hospitals, orphanages, schools? Today, Christians open orphanages to collect money. You visit some orphanages, some orphanage owners have been arrested. They bring bags of rice, they channel it to their relatives. You see the same children that they bring things for. There's no food for them to eat. Somebody visited an orphanage recently. She was so angry. She had to get the law enforcement agents to spy what they brought. And through, they were moving the things away. The children, they can't even give the food to the children. Have you not heard of governors that things that were supplied for IDP camps, they packed them and stored them? During the COVID, we saw some states, no food to eat. Governor, as small as Indomie is, they locked Indomie until people went to discover the warehouses. They don't even need it. And they are Christians. And they go to church. They sit in front. They give them a microphone to make speech. So that they can massage their ego. For them to give for their ego. Not for God. Any day God stops sponsoring the work, we shut down. But there will never be a day when we bring anybody here to massage your ego. When we speak the truth raw. If you are pained, go. You are not Jesus. You are not the Holy Spirit. By the message of God, I don't even know most of the people who give to us. They give as moved. So if you think the ministry rests on your shoulder, go to hell. The day God stops sponsoring us, we stop. We are not the only people God is using. When Stephen died, Paul rose. If we stop, maybe a greater voice will rise. But you will never be God. A big man once came here. When I finished preaching, he was offended. He was telling one or two people that it's like when I saw him, I was now preaching against him. I said, I don't see people's faces when I preach. I talk bodies and get out. What's my business with you? You can't take it. You get lost. Go to the places where they massage your ego. Here we are talking Jesus. How? You know, I pity some churches. Yeah, our church, we have 3 senators. We have a governor. The governor worship in this church. What is happening in the state? The governor worships in your church. Yet the state is backward. What are you telling him? You are not his pastor. One day God will raise us. Senators will come from here. Governors will come from here. Presidents will come from here. But hear this. Those ones will know Jesus. Because if they remain here, they will hear truth. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not a big deal that a president comes here or that a senator comes here. If he comes here, all of us are disciples of Jesus. It's only a big deal if you use that office to glorify God and to help humanity. A thief shouldn't come in the name of a governor and we want you think we will honor you for your criminality and give you validation for robbing people. The altar of Jesus will not be used for that. I preached like this one day. One elder called me aside and said, you know this thing, they use wisdom. Otherwise, when God wants to give you land or properties, they will fight. I say, if it's under a tree, we will remain. It's not a pride that we build a big church. If God gives us the capacity, we'll build so that people can be comfortable in serving God. But if we don't have it, we will preach under tents till we go to heaven. They don't count the size of church in heaven. It's the souls won, discipled, and what they teach. I'm not part of those people who raise shoulders because I built an auditorium. And you can't intimidate me because you built one. Sir, every week we win at least 9,000 souls here. There are few ministries in this country that are doing what we are doing. I'm not intimidated by anything you are doing. I'm fulfilling my call. If it's only tent we can build till we go to heaven. See, we have been battling to get to say, we bought two lands. They are struggling with us. Anytime we get it, we'll do it. If we don't get it, we continue in tent. And if we get it, we'll build an edifice where people will come and glorify God. There's nothing wrong with it. But that's not the zenith of the call. The zenith of the call is that people are encountering Jesus, souls are being won, people are being discipled, and they are able to represent Jesus in society. And we don't need a temple to do that. I have prayers by now. We have to shut down. We have to shut down. Let me list the rest. Go and pray about it. Study it. Number 4 is stewardship and resource management. Stewardship. If God is going to give you souls, then you need to know that issues of management are important to God. If God will promote you, you need to demonstrate faithfulness and capacity to manage resources. It's part of the gospel. The first man God created, he gave the earth to manage. Genesis 1:28. Jesus was speaking. Luke 16:12. He said, if you are not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in much. So I only promote those who are effective in resource management. Don't waste resources in the name that you believe God. God can always supply. No. Jesus multiplied bread and fish, fed 5,000 men. He said, gather every fragment. He didn't say gather every loaf. Fragment. That means every piece must be picked up. And he said, let nothing be wasted. People waste resources and they expect God to give them nations. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, Paul said, it is expected of a steward that a man be found faithful. See, in your organization, when they need wisdom on how to manage resources for direction, they should call you. Didn't you read about Joseph? There's going to be 7 years of abundance. 1/5 of all the resources should be stored. And he was able to carry the whole world through 7 years of famine. This is why the society is beginning to see us as nuisance. Because the gospel we are preaching is not applied. Number 5 is family structure and order. Because the first institution God created is not church. It's not society. It's not government. It's family. Genesis 1:26-27. Genesis 2:19. And then 21-24. It's family. If the family order is not kept, we can't manage society. And if you study Ephesians 5 from verse 21 to 30, you are going to see the structure of family. God expects you to be able to raise children who are obedient. He expects you to lead a wife who is submissive. And he expects you to do that through the rod of discipline and genuine love for your wife. You discipline the children, you love the wife. And if you are a wife, God expects you to master the act of submission. It means you can relate with authority. But you see, society has failed because our Christianity failed at home. It said, train up a child in the way that he should go. If he is grown up, he won't depart from it. So if you find a Christian governor who is failing, before you blame the church, blame his father and mother. Because if he was raised in the way of the Lord, he would not have deviated. If you find a pastor who is failing, before you blame the ministry, blame his father and mother. There was an area they failed in parenting. And it's because the gospel has not affected our family. That's why a woman can kneel down before her pastor but insult her husband. Because she was taught religion, not the way of God. A husband can claim he's the head of a church, he's a shepherd, but he can't manage his immediate family. I know there are places of warfare, and we fight these battles. Satan comes to destroy families. But largely, most of us, the gospel has not affected the family structure. If you are a child and you have heard the gospel, you obey your parents. If you are a wife and you have heard the gospel, you submit to your husband. If you are a husband and you have heard the gospel, you love your wife. And if the family order is restored, the sanity of society will return. Number 6 is wisdom. The gospel should give us wisdom. It's the ability to apply knowledge to produce desired intention. If you have heard the gospel, you have the mind of Christ. You should be able to apply knowledge. And that should bring leadership to any context where you find yourself. But you see, if the gospel does not impart wisdom, then what we are hearing is not the wisdom of God. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. But when we came into the gospel, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says we have the mind of Christ. We know all things. We can judge all things. So anywhere there is a Christian, there should be order. There should be leadership. There should be guidance. Because he is able to bring the wisdom of God to create God's system within that system. Number 7 is peace and conflict peace and reconciliation or conflict resolution. Where there is chaos, if you come, you should solve it. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. You know why many leaders of the world are fighting wars today? It's because of ego and greed. They fight war largely for the proceeds of war and to satisfy ego. I'm not saying a point comes when you can only get peace through force. That place exists because we deal with sons of Belial. There is a place where you can only get peace through force. And if need be, do. Deuteronomy 2:24 says, rise ye up, take thy journey, go beyond the river Arnon. I have given you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. He said, contend with him in battle. So there are times when you can take it through force. But most of the time, we violate the place of reasonable interaction because ego gets the best of us. This is why leaders are failing, nations are failing, and we don't care the havoc it has on the weak. At the end of the day, we want to stand on the news and say, yes, we fought that war, and like you know, we are the strongest people, we came out. You came out. That ego that is satisfied, does it compare to the lives wasted? So there's a place where force is the only way. But most of the time, wisdom must be given a chance. So the gospel, when preached, should make room for peace. The Bible said, we are peacemakers. Peacemakers are the sons of God. If the gospel really made us sons, we must become advocates of peace. The Bible says to follow peace with all men. Today, even inside church, you can't secure peace. You go to the choir, they are fighting. What is the issue? I was supposed to lead the praise. They just came and at the last minute say I shouldn't. Was God glorified? Yes. Were people blessed? Yes. So why is there an issue? I was supposed to lead prayer because they saw that when I lead prayer, the power of God moved for over 2 weeks. They've not allowed me to lead prayers. So if you are not leading prayers, pray prayers now. Did they stop you from praying prayers? And then you come to church, you are laboring for God to move. No way. Because even the pastorate, they are fighting.
even in the pastorate. So this our gospel does not transform us enough to bring peace. How can we take peace to the world? Meanwhile, the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. Finally, because of time, general application of kingdom culture and ethics. Matthew 5-7, the Sermon of the Mount. Jesus gave us diverse dimensions of kingdom culture and ethics. Galatians 5:22-23, the fruits of the Spirit. Paul gave us all of that. So we must be able to install kingdom values, kingdom culture. So when you go to a place, mercy, humility, truthfulness, integrity, you should be known for it first, then you are able to implement it. Should be known for it. I was teaching in a school in Benue those days, and when it's time for WAEC, all the teachers will line up, the proprietors will give them instruction on how to manage exam malpractice. I just came to the school, so when it was time, she was hearing that they say I was a pastor. She didn't care. Okay. One day, a lady was attacked with asthma. I rebuked the demon. They went and told her. She now called for an assembly for me to pray for the school, the students. And I was praying and cast out devils. I thought she was finally touched. When Waye came, she now called me the day before. What is that? I said, no. I know the subject and I taught my students they will pass. She said, no. Because there is a quota that the students must pass. Otherwise, you have problem with the board. I said, no. I'm a Christian. The next day, she was frowning like this. Her face was like the sun. And she sent some teachers to warn me that if I know what is good for me, the question paper, the moment it comes, the WAEC officials will open it. This thing is locked with padlock. So that the school owners will see that they didn't. But it's the school owner. They will open it, give you question paper. You will now rush and solve the whole question in the first 30 minutes. You'll write the answer and they'll bring it to the hall and distribute. I say, me. Most of those my students today are doctors, engineers. They follow me. Imagine if I was distributing chokes for them. And then today I'm preaching, talking revival, fire. You say, I beg, leave that of that. Leave that one. I had to leave the school. See, sometimes it will cost you. It will cost you food. When I left the school, I thought God would clap and say, somebody stood for me. And then a bigger job will come. I think for over 4 months, I can't remember, I didn't get any job. I almost died of hunger. You do one small good, you say, now angels have been mobilized. Doors will open. If you are not careful, you will start regretting. Hope you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego entered the fire. They didn't tell us for how long they were there. I don't know who taught you that if you do good, next week promotion will come. Oh, God. Sometimes you will do good and for 2 years you will feed by mercy. But the Bible says, rejoice and be glad. Great is your reward in heaven. You will get a job through favor, through competence, through faith. But your reward is not on earth. It's in heaven. I almost died of hunger. But guess what? Today, even that school owner watches me and follows me. And she knows I'm a man of God. She knows. She knows. Imagine, they invite me to a church and I come as a global apostle. And then I see her in front. That means forever I'll be her boy. Yeah, come on. But if she sees me, she will stand up and greet a man of God. Those of you who compromise, don't. I taught you here before, part of your witness is suffering. If you have to suffer for Christ, rejoice and be glad. It's an honor. This gospel is not only about breakthroughs. If you really want to practice the gospel, most times you will suffer before breakthrough. That's why today our Christian sisters are sleeping around for 2,000 naira, 5,000 naira. If you ask, they say they want to make hair because they were not taught the applied gospel. Our young men today, they can't be patient and develop themselves. They are going to wash their face to join Yahoo Plus, looking for quick money because they were not taught the gospel. God can do it in 1 year. He can do it in 10 years. The Bible says, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. By the mercies of God, even up to last week, somebody came here from Lagos doing Yahoo Yahoo. He heard my message and he shut his system down. That was the last time. We can't bring transformation to society if all we know is breakthrough, miracle, signs and wonders. That's one part of the cross. There's another part. And if we bring witness, all the dimensions must be harmonized. May the Lord grant us grace. Bend your head and pray. I am your own. I am your own. Till the day you return, Jesus, I am your own.
I am your own. Till the day you return.
Hey.
Jesus,
I
am your own. I am your own.
I am your own. I want you to take a deep recess. Where you are you representing Jesus there? It's not enough to say I'm a king, I'm a priest. No, I'm the righteousness of God. Where you are, is the kingdom of God there? If it's not there, you need to take a deep recess. Because one day, you will be called to give account. You know, there is something more dangerous than sin. Do you know it? It's to cause others to sin. The Bible said, whoever causes these little ones to sin, he said it will be worse for that person. It would have been better a grinding stone is tied to him and is thrown into the sea. That's why when I see people arguing things like, is it a sin? Is it not a sin? I say, it's immaturity. It mustn't be sin. If it will cause others to sin, it's better you don't do it. That's why a Christian, a proper Christian, lives modestly and temperately. There are many things you can love to do. But to cause controversy, to lead somebody to bitterness, somebody to cause him to sin, when you look at you, but where you are, the question is, are you representing Jesus? Because one day, you will stand before the throne to receive recompense. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, when the day will break eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over under all the shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the road is called up yonder,
when the road God up yonder. When the road is God up yonder. When the road is God up yonder. When the road is God up yonder. When the trumpet, take that first stanza again. When the roll is God, when the road is God up yonder, when the road is God up yonder, when the road is God up yonder.
You get to eternity, the first aspect of judgment will be whether you are in Christ or not. That's where salvation is. When you pass that phase of judgment, there's another judgment. It's the judgment of rewards. Whether you will merit anything. The works of Christ gives you salvation. Your works in Christ and in grace gives you reward. That's why Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, I labor more than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. We must labor to bring effective representation to our Lord. And if we do, the effect we show in the society that we are a part of it. This thing is beyond coming to church and singing songs, receiving miracles and prophecies. What is the residue you carry into your world? In church, we are all light, but you are sent into a world of darkness. How much light can you take there? May the Lord grant us grace. In Jesus' name.